This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As a boy growing up in Cameroon, Jean-Michel Desaki's grandfather taught him an important lesson about our place in the world. Humans, he said, are part of an interconnected web of life that includes animals, forests, rivers, and the ancestral spirits that inhabit them. Jean-Michel took that message to heart, so much so that after 2 years of studying economics in college, he left the classroom to live in the forest. The inspiration he took from the trees and rivers continues to shape him and his art. Jean-Michel creates mixed-media sculptures that meld the natural world with the built environment. He's here in North Carolina to share his approach with students and the public and joins me now. Jean-Michel, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and to share the message that I brought from the forest with all people here in North Carolina.
Talk about that message and when you first or how you first learned that message in Cameroon.
I am Jean-Michel Desaki, the grandson of King Desaki. And since I was a child, my grandfather just sent me to learn about the traditional ancestor school, even if I were trying to go to the modern school. But during one of my holidays, I just went into the secret forest there with one hunter, and he just cut the vine and just drink the water that come inside the vine. And he gave that to me, and I also drink the water that come inside the vine. And after he take the vine back and just throw that, and I went to pick that, and I decided to work on that. After I went to college, and now people decide to destroy the sacred forest in my village. It was a big deal because they was trying to get gas, and me, I was worried about that, and I went to see my grandfather and ask him if it's possible to him to try to figure out how they can work without cut the tree down. But it was so late, and I just go there and I just collect fund material like the vine that they cut, because the vine for me is the symbol of the vine, is the nest. It is also the DNA. It is also the other umbilical cord that connects us to the mother earth.
I think it's that. It's that connection that is so profound in all of this. And vine is the perfect image, right, because of the way it wraps around and spirals, but also is rooted in the soil. And now we know, even our own biology is telling us about the interconnectedness of fungus and trees and the communication that goes on. So it's not as spooky to us. But talk about it seems to me, a fascinating juxtaposition. Here you are learning political economies in college, where they're explaining to you the importance of jobs and gas production and productivity, and then this generative economy that has been going on for millennia without anybody sort of extracting the wealth and funneling the wealth up to certain individuals. What was going on in your head when you're learning about political economies, which is so utterly antithetical to life on Earth in many ways?
You know, I first went to college before, and I was graduated there, and I first have they call that in French, baccalauréat day in mathematics and in science. And I just, after that, I went to study about economical science. And there, when we was talking about the consumption, the only thing that we were talking about is about human being and how human being live. And now me, as I'm working with funds material, I was trying to have information about the modern society and also how to share vibration, how to share the resource in the modern society. Because when I just make one parallelism between how the vibration is work around the forest, and that is be sharing by the vine, there is a big way that you observe in forest how the tree communicate. And the vine in the forest also share natural resource with the big tree and the small tree. And this is, for me, is the symbol of unity and love. And also in the urban center, I am seeing we have many cables that share us electricity, and that also help us about internet connection. So we are building some kind of tree of communication that I can call the web. And that helped me to dialogue with you. Just now in radio, you just received my song, the song of my voice. The song of my voice is also the vine. And I am trying to check a balance, because today we need nature, but we also need technology. And
so tell us how that works in your art and how your art comes together, and maybe you can describe some of your art and how these ideas come together in your work.
Each idea that's come together in my work by always sometime talking about human being, because I think human being, we are also sacred forest. We are moved, and sacred forests are also inside ourselves and also out of ourselves. So what is in my work, I just talking about the human being problem we have today, the climate change, and also to write, to have culture, you need to check the environment where you live.
You use found materials. Talk about the materials you use and the way that you shape them to reflect these ideas.
Okay. The found material that I'm using is like, I use the aluminiums, I use old fabric, I also use metals, I also use wood, I use termite dust, I use everything that human being already touched. Also sometimes computer parts. But I just use aluminium because when I was trying to get the color of the color in the forest, I have to go inside the water, inside the sea. And when the sun just send the light on the surface of water, I just kept the color of the light under the water. I just opened my eye there. So I need to talk about how the light is moved. And also using termite dust, because I need to...
Termite dust?
Yes, wow. Termite dust, because of the color. Hmm. And I need to let everything to be connected to nature and that being alive. Because in my area, termite dust reconnect us to the ancestral world. And also, found material give me the real color of the society where I live. Maybe people who use that don't... sometimes they passed and they have something to communicate to us. And all those material has atoms and they are very connected. And you have like, you can see that I am trying to put fabric together with metals. That's not possible. But they have one link, atoms. And I am talking about something that's strong and something that can be flexible. So I am calling people to dialogue by using some different materials, yes.
Yeah, and the idea of bringing the built environment, found materials, together with natural materials makes you a perfect for a residency at the Scrap Exchange in Durham, which you did.
Yes.
And Mariette Sheldon is an artist and an art educator, and saw Jean-Michel's art when he did that residency at the Scrap Exchange in Durham last year. And she was so inspired by his work that she traveled to Cameroon to see what inspired his work. And Mariette Sheldon joins us now. Mariette, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell us what it was that you saw. Jean-Michel has so eloquently explained the rationale behind his work and described it. What did you see as an outsider who had not been familiar with it?
Well, initially I was inspired by the aesthetic beauty of his art and just the authenticity of it. It's very unique. Mm-hmm. The main thing that I was inspired by, though, was his message. All of his art is symbolic of giving a message about our link with each other, with the natural world, and the fact that we need to reconnect with nature.
Jean-Michel, you know, it sounds to me like you grew up knowing about this. Then you go away to college, and it was after that that you spent 9 years.
Before that, because each holiday I have to go to my village, and I went to the ancestral traditional school. I just spent there 18 years, because before you talk in front of people in my area, they have to choose you. And you have to go to ancestor school.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a very big point. And there I just learned also, I also discover the tree of life in the sacred forest, because when you are traveling inside the vine, because the vine is also the line, is the DNA, you come somewhere where you just discover something in you. Any one of us has that. I call that in French, point original de création. It's something that helps you to more express yourself. Mm-hmm. And after that, you will come at the sea of life, the sacred sea of life, where there is not limit, where we are always live together. And if you are across the street, the sea, you will come somewhere where you will discover the tree of life, because we have the tree of life inside ourselves by the 9 point of vibration. And also we have that outside ourselves, because there is some sacred place around the world. And also, Leonardo da Vinci was talking about that, the tree of life, the balance. You can check that on the of one of his drawing that they call in French Homme de Vitruve. Because even when you are trying to put some material together, the material are not found material again.
Well, tell me, I want to understand this too, because you grew up knowing about this connection. It was the air you breathed, literally, and the ground you walked on, quite literally and figuratively as well. When you try to describe this, when you try to describe feeling the vibrations, which I think people in the modern world have literally muted themselves to what they could feel, and we can certainly measure, because they grew up learning that anything that makes any activity that you do slightly easier is the best thing that could possibly happen, without regard to the collateral consequences. If you grow up in the Western world knowing that in the core of your being, how do you talk to that person who grew up with a very different set of assumptions and try to describe the vibrations that they have learned not to feel anymore?
What I will first say is this: we are all human beings, and we are also always connected. I just sometimes try to compare some African meat and some Western meat, and I just see that there is not something different. You have like the sometimes we make some ceremony in the sea, and just when I observe how the priest makes ceremony at the Catholic Church, it feels like it's the same thing. So the first thing I would say is, even if you are growing in Western culture, you must be first humble. You need to dialogue with material. You need to listen to nature, to tree. Even if it's different, there is always also sacred place here in Western area. You have like Stonehenge. Stonehenge in England. So anyone has to, we have connection.
But it's interesting.
I want to ask you one question. Is it Western people don't have dreams sometimes? Mm. They have dream. The dream are real. You can have a dream and that send you. So it's also one way to be connect. And to do that, you need something to practice, like drawing, making yoga, and sometimes be open and very, sometimes also in Western area, people are dialogue also with animals. I see they respect animals. This is another way to be connect, because, you know, when there is seismologic environment problem, when the, like the hurricane that's happened last year in US, animal feel that before us, and they just send us a message. So we need to be very humble and listen. So,
well, I will also say that in modern life, in Western life, humility is not a virtue. So you are told not to be humble, but to toot your own horn. We are grown up. We grew up to learn. Jean-Michel Desacquez spent several years in a residency in North Carolina, several weeks, I should say, in residency in North Carolina State. And Stephen Noren is a freshman at the College of Design. He participated in a workshop with Jean-Michel and joins the conversation now. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. What did you learn in this workshop?
A lot of what he was talking about, how listening to objects, that was a different way. Because when I see listening to objects and design, we're taught a lot of look at textures, look at the shape and the objective fact of an object, and not so much the story of it. And there's, you know, talk about the story, but there's not that deep spiritual level of the vibrations of with it. So while we were at the scrap exchange, the only instruction we had to pick out these materials for the project we were working on was to pick out what spoke to us. And a lot of us were like, well, what speaks to us? And we were kind of wandering around for the first, you know, few minutes of just like looking at things, like, is this speaking to us? And just kind of asking all ourselves, and like, what, you know, what is? And, you know, by the, you know, we kind of get into this thing where it's like, if I picked it up, obviously that spoke to me in some level, and I don't need to explain it right on the spot. So let's just throw it in the cart.
And then what happens to it? I'd love to get into sort of how you adjust yourself to actually tune into a thing that you'd learn never to tune into. But then you put something together. What happens to the collective project, and how did you respond to that?
Oh, yeah. So the found objects we made, we didn't have a plan for what exactly we were making. Originally, we were set out to make a tapestry, but we ended up making a tapestry, a floor sculpture, like a woven fabric one, a tall, like a spire kind of sculpture, and a tabletop sculpture as well. And all these projects kind of evolved from, Jean-Michel just kind of redirecting sometimes and tuning into these vibrations that a lot of us were starting to pick up on.
Does it change your approach to design?
I think it will. Looking at not so much the objective fact of objects, but also kind of considering the story of it and how the deep spiritual level. And that's a lot of times how we, in Western world, we do mute ourselves to that. So it's very interesting to get more of that, another influence and a wider range of view, especially on a STEM dominated campus where of NC State, where it's, you know, a lot of it is engineering, the objective, mathematical, and not the, you know, spiritual level and feelings behind things.
Jean-Michel, what happens? How did you put this project together or the artifact together when these students came to you?
You know, I just not only come here to teach, I just also come to learn. That's why I was talking about to be humble. You know, I don't know this environment. The student helped me to be connect with the North Carolina information by choosing the material. I was very worried about what Stephen decided to choose there, because he just take one big wood, something where you just watch your hand. I just think about Duchamp and I say he need to go inside himself. And I was planning we have to just do a tapestry, because this work just take us 9 days. To do something in 9 days is very complex. Yeah. And after I just follow what the proposition of students, and my job was to try to put the ideas together, have information, but by also listen to them to cap the vibration. Because, you know, when you are going inside the forest, sometimes you can feel the vibration if you are humble of the tree. Yeah, I used to go to the forest, sleep on the tree, and just cap the vibration. And I come here, the student give me the vibration, and I just try to organize my direct them. And it was very also a great pleasure, because I just also discover sacred forest at NC State, not only in Africa, in also in the modern culture, is even inside ourselves. We have the sacred forest inside ourselves because we are alive.
Well, I want to thank you very much for bringing your message and your work to North Carolina. I'm talking to Jean-Michel Disaque, who is an artist and art educator. Mariette Sheldon is an NC State University, was also with us. She's an educator and NC State University design student. Stephen Noren, Jean-Michel is going to lead a workshop at the Scrap Exchange in Durham February 24th, also going to be showcasing his work on March 2nd. We've got all the links to his work at our website, stateofthings.com. Thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the music of Tom Merrigan's Hot Raccoon. Stay tuned.